Greetings, this is James Gunnell with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great guest tonight. We've got Lorcan O'Toole, and he's a filmmaker, writer, composer, alchemist, musician. His father's the late actor Peter O'Toole, and Lorcan also worked as an actor in Hollywood for a spell in films like Time with Justin Timberlake, In Time with Justin Timberlake, a television show, Sons of Anarchy. In May of 2012, Lorcan began to have profound spiritual awakening of self-realization and also experienced a series of what some people would describe as supernatural experiences, communications, contacts, and connections beyond space and time. He began to go into trance and unfamiliar breathing patterns and having visions of sacred geometry. He was guided to see a number of well-respected mediums and channelers to find out what was happening to him. They all independently corroborated that he had made a powerful connection to a future incarnation of his own soul, and that Lorcan is a channeler, medium, and somebody who has the ability to communicate and connect with beings or energies from different time frames, different levels of reality, and different frequencies. These include what are known as spirit guides, angels, higher self, consciousness, and those who've crossed over into spirit, and also from other star systems, dimensions, and civilizations. His mission is to bring forth the spirit of unity consciousness and remind beings of their own infinite nature and shatter the illusions of limitation and separation. He'll be sharing these insights during ESETI 2017, coming up June 30th to July 4th. Registrations open at esetievents.com. So that's our major event, folks, and you don't want to miss this one. It's June 30th. Again, go to esetievents.com, and we're having some great speakers coming up for this conference, and we're also going to have some major UFO activity. We always do. So if you want to see a UFO, you want to connect to these higher consciousness and energies here, be sure and don't miss that. So with any further ado, Lorcan, are you with us?
I certainly am indeed, James.
Yeah, I hope I think our producers left the line open, so we'll have to work around that. I can hear somebody in the background there, but hopefully they can figure that one out. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, James. It's a pleasure to be talking with you and to be on your magnificent ESETI branch here in Washington.
Yeah, we've already had some pretty amazing experiences. I know I'd love for you to tell people what you saw out there in the field when we were standing out there with the camera the other night.
Well, my goodness, I have had the extraordinary experience a number of times to see what people would term UFOs, both broad daylight, nighttime, in all sorts of different countries and places around the world. But coming here has been, I must say, a very unique experience. We saw at least 7 crafts flying together, a few sentries or whatever you want to call them, outcropping a sort of mothership, all at the same time. We had UFOs crossing over each other in a triangular pattern, almost as if we were seeing some sort of synchronized swimming going on up there. So it has been mind-blowing. I'm still integrating how magnificent it's been to see them all.
Yeah, there's some intense energies here at the ranch. A lot of people come to the ranch, and you know, it's just like people wanting to go on a ship. They go, "I want to go on a ship," and I tell people, "Are you sure you're ready?" And they go, "Yeah, I'm ready." You know, but as soon as they connect with those energies, you know, it hits them like a train, and then they have to make a major adjustment.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, talking about the idea of disclosure, and there's many people who are, you know, chomping at the bit for, you know, various people to release information and for it all to come out in one big swoop. But as you were just saying, James, sometimes people even see one single craft and their nervous system gets such a big shock from it that it takes some time to adjust, to retune, to integrate that experience, let alone the idea of, you know, high-fiving, you know, an alien in the front lawn of the White House or something. But it is an interesting experience. It does take an adjustment for the nervous system to get used to that kind of experience.
You know, people always ask me, why haven't they landed on the White House lawn? And I always tell them there's no intelligent life there. But now with this new president, who knows? He's got UFOs following his jet, you know, and his helicopter. And even Fox News is filming, you know, UFOs following his jet. So, you know, who knows? Maybe something big is going to happen this time around.
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be extraordinary, but I think, you know, Terence McKenna, I believe, said that it would be quite a distasteful thing for, you know, thousands of ships to suddenly appear in the sky. But who knows what could happen? I'm open to anything. And I think that's the most important thing, is being open. Because when you are open, your imagination opens, your belief systems open, and the rigidity of some of the beliefs that you've had before start to become more malleable. And then you start to see more things and experience more things. And it really is to do with how open people are. And we've definitely experienced, since, God, the 1920s, if not further, many different films and television programs and all sorts of different things that have been displaying or representing extraterrestrials and also spirits and non-physical beings as all being evil and conquerors and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's no wonder that people are, you know, confused in terms of what's going on in the other dimensions and the skies and space, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. There's one thing I've been seeing lately, that the latest thing going around is that, you know, there's going to be a huge false flag attack by UFOs, so you should be very scared. You know, you should be very afraid. And, you know, here we go again. You know, it's like, so, and everybody keeps talking about how, you know, they're going to invade, you know, they're going to, I said, they've already been here. They've been here since time immemorial. You know, even before Egyptian times, they were here. So they've always been here. We don't need to really worry about being invaded. It's the ones that are here, the cleanup that need to be cleaned up. That's what you need to look at. And also the ones coming now are the benevolent ones that are helping with the planetary liberation.
Well, it's an interesting thing, James, because the talk that I'm going to be giving at your ranch and that I've given in a few other places is called Reflections, Star Beings and Humanity. And it's funny how there's a great psychological projection that goes on. So you say all these people are invaders or they're evil. If you look at the planet Earth, every single country has been invaded and divided and subjugated. It's all been going on very, very close to home the entire time. So when we start to see or project those ideas onto beings from the stars, we're really sort of not really making much progress.
Yeah, I agree. You know, people told me, they said, you know what, I said, well, they go, they're going to come and they're going to enslave us and they're going to steal our resources. And I said, so it's going to be business as usual, right?
You know? Look out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, you're already enslaved and your resources are already being stolen. And if you really look at who's stealing them, you know, this has been going on for quite some time. But anyway, it's funny how, you know, there's this thing going on where everything's in the future, you know. It's like they're pushing everything into the future. This is going to happen in the future. NASA's saying, you know, in 25 years, we're going to have contact. It used to be 50 years. Now they're saying 25 years. And, you know, everything is some future fulfillment. And that's how they trap people and manipulate people. But they're not covering the fact it's happening now, you know.
Well, I mean, some people say that that contact window is even much sooner than that. But the idea of what you're discussing of time-based prophecies is a fantastically interesting thing, because in many senses, it's almost, it could be a great teaching in a way. For example, if there are some beings, whether they were manipulative or they were trying to teach people a genuine lesson, could offer all of these things that could happen far off in the future or this date or 2012 or what have you. And a lot of the time it doesn't happen, and people start to go, well, you said this, but the point is that you bought into it. You considered that that actually was going to happen. And I think in a lot of ways that's teaching us that we are creators of our own reality, collectively and individually. And if we know that, then we can ask ourselves, how do we want it to go? How do you want to see it happening? And I think the more that we gain our sovereignty, in terms of our creatorhood in that way, the more we stop listening to external, seemingly, sources of information and putting all of our power there and start listening to our own guidance and our own hearts. Because I think even some of the great teachers give us conflicting information so that we do make up our own minds and our own hearts.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody asked me one time, what do you think is going to happen in the future? And I said, there's going to be about 7.5 billion realities being created, you know, so which one do you want? And, you know, which one do you want to create? You know, where do you want to go with this? You know, so, I mean, you can play the victim role and create that experience. You can be the savior and run that role. You can even be the persecutor, whichever one you want, but you're still on that wheel, you know, I don't know if you've noticed. I'm sure you have noticed it lately, but my phone and my emails are ringing off the hook, and people are just getting hammered right now with their own stuff as well as other forces, you might say, that are coming up, like coming out of the woodwork right now. And I think it's, you know, light in, garbage out, kind of like there's so much energy coming in right now. It just seems like everything is coming up. To be healed and be looked at and dealt with.
Well, indeed, that there may be, you know, certain technologies and forces, etc., that are going on. But also, in another beautiful way, you could describe it that light is returning, and I mean by that information and also photonic light is interacting with this Earth and this solar ring, and has been quite potently since around about 1987. And this photonic light is creating, well, you could think about light coming onto a particular object. And you say the more light that you put onto an object, the deeper the shadow. So what is happening is all of the darkness that has been under the surface for us individually and collectively, that has been unseen, is coming to the surface for all of us to be seen, to be cleared, to be honored, to be witnessed. Whatever the process is necessary for you, but this is happening for all of us. And the thing is, it's not some new fresh hell that's happening. It is revealing what has already and always been there. And so you can think of it more as an enlightenment of the dark that is there, as opposed to experiencing, you know, more and more and more. But sometimes, like a healing process or a healing crisis, excuse me, sometimes things have to appear to get worse before they get better. And I believe that people may see versions of that on the Earth coming up and now.
Yeah, it's almost like walking into a room, you know, a dark room, and, you know, you can go about your business and grab something out of the fridge or whatever, and everything's good. And then you turn the light on, you see all the roaches going for the corners, you know. And most people were wandering around in the darkness, you know, for quite a while. And now somebody's flipping the light on, and so they can see. You know, it does seem like the roaches are scurrying for cover right now.
Under the refrigerator as soon as possible, yeah, I know. But at least the light is coming on and they are running for the refrigerator, as opposed to lurking in the dark menacingly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's undeniable. Even NASA is putting out the statistics on it, you know, and they're talking about the cosmic rays coming in, the gamma rays, and, you know, we're moving into a highly energized place in space. I mean, they're finally talking about this. You know, I know some of us have been talking about it for 30 years, you know, that process. But now
they have actual photographs and images now that scientists have captured of what they call this cloud or this photonic belt. There's actual images of it scientifically. So it's sort of moving. A lot of the things that we discuss, James, and on some senses we know to be true, a lot of people have considered to be fantasy or mythos. And it can be understandable, you know, when you've been. I think that the true nature of our reality is a miraculous one. Not necessarily in the Pollyanna sense, but it truly is a fairy tale of synchronicity and harmony. And I think we've been taught and conditioned on the Earth to look away from the magic, to look at limitations and mediocrity and run-of-the-mill, blah-blah TV shows running around smiling. And it's just, it really is not insulting, but it's so different to the true nature of reality. And I think that opening up and meeting and energetically connecting to star beings, the reason that it's very important on a practical level, even though it's energetic, is that these beings exist, the majority of them, beyond the idea of time and space that we consider to be modern science's understanding. And the energy that they're connected to, and we are also connected to, even though we're remembering it, is an infinite energy. And within that, there are no limitations, and all things are possible. But it does seem that there's been this cloud of supposed limitation and lack and scarcity that people have really been shoved down their throats upon the Earth. And I think that meeting star beings, seeing UFOs, telepathically connecting with these beings, feeling the energy and the loving presences that these beings have, and it's not like there's any technology that can recreate these feelings. It's a very profound thing, and I think that it opens us up, opens the doorway up to those infinite possibilities, and this can be a very profound and practical thing, actually. So some people have talked about that, you know, discussing ETs is impractical, and what does that do for us? I think it's extremely important. I think that on an energetic level, one of the most important reasons that we are having contact with ETs is to remind us of our own infinite nature, actually.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Somebody asked me that, well, what use is that, you know, for me? And I said, well, see that phone you're using right now? And they said, yeah. And I said, first of all, that phone came from ET crash sites, the technology, you know. And also, too, you wouldn't be able to use that phone if they haven't blocked several kill shots coming from the sun. So your technology, you'd go back to the dark ages, and you wouldn't have that phone. So is that practical enough for you? You know, and I can keep going on and say, you know, they've deflected quite a few meteors, you know, pretty big meteors that were coming through, and they've done a lot on our behalf, and they're working to, you know, clean up the, you know, actually liberate the planet right now. So it has it's going to have a huge impact on everyone eventually, I think, for the better.
I would agree as well, certainly in the reality that I would prefer to have, but that's just me and quite a few other beings as well. There is assistance, certainly, but as with all of us, like a great teacher, even on the planet Earth, he knows that the student needs to connect the synapses themselves, needs to connect the dots themselves. Uh-huh. So stepping in and taking away the responsibility, it can seriously retard someone's evolution by taking away their own individual awakening experience that they have themselves. So it's very important for people, beings, to take a step back and allow people to have, to save themselves, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. The whole thing about, I think it's the most disempowering program on the planet. You know, a lot of these teachings, especially some of the Christian teachings, where they have an external savior, and you're supposed to give away all your power, everything, to some external god, and it's the most disempowering and creates such a dependency. And I said, well, what about taking personal responsibility? And you know, you live in an action-reaction world, and God's not punishing you if you do something stupid, you know, and the reaction comes and smacks you in the side of the head. You know, I said, you did it to yourself. You know, I said, it's not the devil punishing you. It's not God punishing you. You know, like, why don't we just take responsibility and live under universal law? And then, you know, we won't be having these consequences.
With no overlord or, you know, hierarchy or heightened pedestal figure. Because I love a lot of the information that's in lots of different religions. I think that it all comes from a sort of similar space in a way. I'm not a Christian. I'm also not a religion basher. But I do know some of the words of the Christ being. Jesus supposedly said, I am the way. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't meaning to follow him as some sort of leader. He was saying, I am an example, a reflection of what is within you. So if you really want to follow me, be the way that I am, because you already are that way. Uh-huh. And I believe that that's a really important thing. I think it's okay, because some people it's a big leap to jump into self-responsibility for your own reality, for the creation of your own reality. People can be a little nervous about that and want to, you know, create an in-betweener or something. But the truth is that I think all of the beings that came down to the planet that we talk about as being, you know, ascended beings and Buddhas, etc., I think that their main message to all of us is that we are reflections of what is already within you and what you truly are.
Yeah, I agree.
Follow us, yeah.
Yeah, he had several sayings that people seem to overlook. You know, one of them was the temple is within, you know, and ye are all gods, you know, and the Spirit of God dwells within you. But one of his prayers was, he said, Beloved Father, let them become one as we are one. So, I mean, why would he be saying that if it wasn't possible? You know, so it's, I mean, I can go on and quote all kinds of other quotes, you know, where he kept saying, you know, I myself do nothing, the Father through me doeth the works, or you will do greater works than I, for I go on to the Father. I can go on and on forever, because he's always talking about making your own personal God connection. And I think so many people miss that part of the teachings. And it's not just in the Christian teachings, but, you know, it doesn't matter if you get caught up following Buddha or Kuan Yin or whatever. You know, if you're creating a dependency and not making your own personal God connection, I think you're missing the mark. And once you make your personal God connection, then that comes with it, with the work. You know, you are going to have these ultra-dimensional beings, you know, these masters come to you and things like that. It just comes with making your own personal connection with God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you get a name you want to give it.
Indeed, and also the, you know, the religification, if that's the correct word, of extraterrestrial beings being called gods and worshipped as gods. I think, you know, this is another important thing where we're starting to recognize that within energy itself, there is an equality, an equivalence with all energy. An Indian boy sweeping the streets in India is no less or more important than a king on his throne. And that there is an equality to all energy. I think that when you understand that everything has a universal value and importance, no higher or less than anything else, then these things that we call hierarchies start to dismantle and we start to see it as being silly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was talking to somebody way up in the UFO community. We won't mention any names, but, you know, he was talking about population control and saying, you know, we've got to get rid of so many million people and everything else. And I said, well, then, you know, if you're a man of conviction, you first. You know, and he goes, no, I'm too important. And I said, no, you're not any more important than anybody else. I said, you know, if you're really a person of conviction, then, you know, take yourself out. You know, if you really believe that, you know, I think you should take yourself out. And, you know, the story changed really quick, you know. But sure. I thought it was kind of hilarious. You know, it's like, as long as it's somebody else, you know, I'm all for population control. As long as it's somebody else, you know, that's what they keep saying.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it's like, you know, we were talking about unity consciousness. You know, everything is equally important, you know, in the field. We all are pulling from the same field, exist within the same field. So what we do to anything and anyone, we do it ourselves, you know, until people figure that one out, you know, they'll still keep playing these other separation games.
Certainly. Well, I've always been, my whole life, I was always very fascinated by what we call ETs or interdimensionals. But it wasn't until 2012 when I started to have very powerful connections and telepathic communications and visions and a plethora of experiences that kind of literally turned my world upside down or right side up, whatever you want to call it. And I was still a bit reticent to talk publicly about extraterrestrial beings. And I asked my guides, and they said to me, Lorcan, what we want you to do is to remind humanity of the reflective nature of reality. And as you were just saying, in unity consciousness, whatever you do to anybody else, you're doing to yourself on some level. What you see in other people, you see in yourself. Whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's whoever it is, it's always an aspect of you. And whatever you're seeing in that is something that's in your own subconscious, especially if you're charged by it. But my point is that the reflective nature of reality, when we can see that we are all reflections of this one energy, that the entire Earth itself is a reflection of all of our thoughts and our beliefs, and that the weather is a reflection of our emotions, not just as much as we can see ourselves in the mirror, might look like our mother or our father in a physical way, but there's much deeper level to that. And I think that when we understand the true reflective nature of reality, we recognize that there is nothing outside of us. There is no outside. There is no alien or foreign. It is all within you, and it is all you. therefore, this is kind of breaking down this fear of the unknown that people have and have had. Because the cosmic joke is that you already are the great unknown. So there's nothing more to find out but more of yourself. Including extraterrestrial beings. I don't like using that term, but people tend to know what it means. They're also reflections of us, and we are reflections of them. Not only genetically, not only energetically, but also in many of our outlooks and our psyches and our traumas and many different experiences in other star systems that we're still working out on Earth. Such as, the things that happened in the Orion systems and Lyran systems, we're all working out down here, and we are all connected genetically to, 11 to 22 different extraterrestrial races to begin with. So the more that we stop seeing this dividing line, I think that the sooner that we can actually have that contact happen, even though on some level it already has.
Yeah, I agree. There seems to be, there's so many different dramas going on, but there seems to be this reoccurring pattern that happens. And usually what happens is that, everything will start out great. Everybody starts out operating under universal law. They see the creator in all creation and everything's happy. And then all of a sudden these forces seem to come in, or malevolent spirits, whatever you want to call it, or lesser spirits. And the next thing you know, competition starts setting in, and then technology starts taking off, and then they start using technology to control and to manipulate, and dominate. And then there's a big civil war, and then kaboom, and then it's start over as primitives, there seems to be this reoccurring pattern. We've done it here on Earth with Atlantis and Lemuria and Mu and other several other civilizations, and I'm really hoping this time we get it right and enough people wake up and smell the coffee and say, hey, we're not going to recreate this pattern.
I certainly hope so, and I certainly have, in my heart, I feel like I know that that's already taken place, and it's a question of how we get there. But it's an interesting thing, James, is there's many people, and they're all individuals, and they all have free will to create as they see fit, as they want to. And there are some people who prefer a haunted house experience. They like the idea of creeping around in the dark and being scared by zombies and what have you as their lives. They like putting out fires. They like being in fight or flight and running around and being manic, almost as if it's some sort of normal. And that's okay. And people can have that experience. But I believe that right now on the planet, there is, might be difficult to comprehend on some level, but I think that there are different worlds that are kind of splitting apart. Some people who are preferring a haunted house experience, and some people who are preferring something more extraordinary than we've ever seen on the planet before.
Yeah, I've seen that over and over. You've got the ghost shows and, the paranormal stuff and everything else, and then you've got the enlightenment, people going for enlightenment, and people have a hard time realizing that enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it, just not one aspect of it or one religious program. But, I think the ones that are really going for, the unity consciousness, and they really want to know, if that's your mantra, I want to know. But realize, too, is that knowingness, when it comes, you're going to have to let go of a lot of recycled ignorance, that came with the program here.
Well, what was it Yoda said? You must unlearn what you have learned, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's very important. Mm-hmm. It's like calculus, James. Like when we were, God knows, 8 years old or whatever, we had calculus chucked down our faces in math class. And from what I read in scientific classes, that children of that age aren't even ready to even begin to integrate that kind of systems. And so they kind of just shut down their brain. And then all you want to do is stare out the window and daydream about, whatever. And then the teacher says, no, stop that. Come back. Look at the calculus. And I think it's a similar metaphor for the way things have been programmed and set up a little bit. But what a lovely challenge it is. And, at the end of the day, we're the ones that conditioned ourselves. We're not victims of any conditioning. I think it is a beautiful challenge. And I think that in some levels, our power has been withheld from us by ourselves until we're ready to reclaim it. And I see that as a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's kind of a tricky walk, and you know, you can go into denial and say, you know, none of this exists. I'm only going to focus on good, you know, or you can go into other programs where I've seen over and over again. But what I find out is that you've got to master loving detachment, and you have to look at what's going on, you know, with brutal honesty, including with ourselves, and just say, you know, there's things that are really gone astray here, and we need to address this, not out of blame and guilt and fear and pointing fingers, but you know, we can't ignore what's happening, and we can't ignore the dark side here. But then again, we can't, you know, shrink away from it or live in fear and do nothing about it, because then it just thrives.
But there's a really wonderful thing there, which is that people look at the dark and you say, well, I don't want to look at the dark because it's horrifying. I don't want to stare at the light because it's all pretty. But here's the thing. What I've discovered, and I started to realize, and I ask this question to a lot of people who I interview, what is it about the dark that has value and purpose? What has it been teaching us? What is it doing for us? Because I think that our great teachers exist in the dark and also in the light and also in a trinity, which is beyond either of those. And I think when you start to see the value of something dark, whether it's a motorcycle accident or an illness or the death of a family member or a war or what have you, and you can see how that brought people together or how it taught you to look after yourself or it taught you to rest or it taught you to be in your heart. I think that there's just as much instruction and benevolence in what people call the dark as there is in anything else. And that is not denial. That is not fantasy. It is understanding the true mechanism of all of existence, unconditional acceptance and honoring of all of it. And I think that once you honor some of the dark things that have been in your life, they don't have to hang around anymore because you've honored them. Therefore, you start to see even that fear itself is on your side. So what is there to be afraid of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something that happened to me. I had this being come to me, and I saw this being. He's pretty dark looking. He looked like a kind of the head of a turtle, you know, and he was an ET. And he appeared, and next thing I know, my life just went to hell, and everything came up. And I was throwing all kinds of light at this thing, doing all the healing I could. It was just absorbing it. Nothing was working. And then people around me were just coming at me from every angle. It's just showing me every little chink in my armor, you might say. And at the end, I was talking to one of the Palladians. I go, what the hell was that? What was that thing? You know, and I'm not even going to mention its name because I don't want to call it back. But but she told me what it was. And I said, well, what is this thing's function? And she said, well, it's like an initiation. And when you survive that experience, there's nothing, you know, you don't have any big buttons or any, you know, wounds or traumas. I mean, when you're done with this experience, they bring everything right up to the surface and they just hit you head on with it. And I was asking her, you know, why do you allow these things to exist? You know, why didn't you take care of this? And she said, they have a function. You know, they have a function. And so, you know, it was pretty interesting. But, you know, I had to face a lot of things and I had to let go of a lot of things. And I had to, like, pull my energies together and you know, go within. And, you know, I called on every energy I could think of to do it. And finally, I just said, whatever, I'm done. You know, take it all. I don't care anymore. And then it was done. You know, when I surrendered, I said, I'm done. I don't care what you do anymore. And then it was done, you know. So it was kind of like it was a major initiation, you know. It wasn't fun by any means. It was one of the most painful things I've gone through and challenging. But in the end, turned out to be a good thing.
And I love that the being comes in, and the second that you surrender, it's like he gives you a smile, checks that off the list, and goes on to the next character because he's done his job properly. And you've listened and you've experienced it. I had a similar experience. If anyone who's psychically aware. I can see in their third eye. Sometimes you can see a few beings that I call the ghoulies.
Yeah.
And the ghoulies take on extraordinarily horrifying images and representations of themselves. And I was perceiving a number of them at a particular point, and I remembered that everything was connected to Source, that everything had a function and a purpose, and that actually what these beings were playing their part on behalf of Source. And what happened was, whether you say this is my imagination or otherwise, it still did the trick. The beings took off their masks, and there were these glorious beings of light. They all bowed to me and then put their masks back on and became the ghoulies again. And that was a very beautiful moment, because it was like, you honor us as we honor you. We are just doing what has been ordained for us by the one creator.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about. There are certain beings out there that I just don't have any patience for whatsoever. Maybe that's something I need to learn, but there are, you know, certain Maybe. Like reptilian beings and serpent beings and things like that. And I see people getting taken over by these beings and constantly, you know, have attachments and things, and they go to other teachers that aren't holding sacred space and are opening people up to these energies. And you know, there's a part of me that's like the warrior, just wants to step in and say enough, you know, and clean house. But there's another part of me, I've been looking at this, like, well, maybe that's their initiation. You know, maybe they need this experience, you know, and I'm going to stop being the savior, and I'm going to, you know, stop putting all this, you know, hours and hours of time and energy, and say, okay, you guys, here's the tools. Here's how you keep your own sacred space clean, you know, and here's how you heal unseen negative influences and enjoy your initiation.
Well, I think I appreciate both sides of what you're saying, James. I think that both are really important, because it is extremely important for us to have the courage, the conviction, and the knowingness to stand up individually and together and say, enough is enough. No matter what it is, whether it's food, whether it's government, no matter what it is, if it is not serving you, it is not serving anybody else, it is causing harm to other people, we say enough is enough, no more. And that takes courage, and it takes action on some level. But at the same time, there is another side to the coin, which is that these things have a purpose, but it's not about being walked over either.
Yeah.
And saying no can really open up your solar plexus and your willpower and re-empower you, I suppose, is the way I would put it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, sometimes, too, the people that have been taken advantage of by these people actually get pushed into learning how to not give their power away and how to learn how to heal these negative influences. So it's a tricky line to walk. You know, I know if somebody didn't teach me these tools and techniques, when I first had my awakening, I had the drowning and just blew wide open. And I was walking around, I was seeing beings everywhere. I was seeing beings attached to people. And once they knew I could see them, they were coming after me. You know, it was pretty heavy duty experience. And if it wasn't for learning these tools and techniques, I don't know where I'd be today, but and you know, remembering that experience and what I went through, that's why I'm so driven to help other people, you know, learn how to, you know, keep their space sacred and how to heal unseen negative influences. But at the same time, you know, they're power tools. You got to plug them in. You got to do your work. You know, you can't just keep expecting somebody else to do it for you.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, I'm looking out at this gorgeous mountain right now. It's just totally clear, and I think it's going to get crazy tonight. I've got that feeling we're going to have a bunch of visitors again.
Well, as I say, it's not a question of if we're going to get visitors, it's how many. Anybody who's listening out there who's interested in seeing craft for the first time or whatever, just come here. It's already done. It's going to happen. I guarantee you there are satellites up there, and I guarantee you some of them are not satellites. So if you are interested, I would definitely recommend coming to this ranch, because it is an extraordinary experience, and it's something that you feel, not just something that you see with your eyes. So I would highly recommend it to anybody. My mind's been blown.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the thing about this place, it's a vortex. It's actually a stargate. And so you have the stargate here, and then you have the mountain and the inner earth opening when the mountain opens up, and you've got the cave and up there with ships coming in and out of it constantly. And there's so many different things going on here. It's just like a smorgasbord of spiritual experiences. You know, you can hang out with the nature spirits, you can hang out with the masters, or you can see the light ships and the ultra dimensionals. But it seems like everything's happening here at once. And we had a volunteer just show up today, and I just greeted her out front, and she said, she goes, I've never seen any place like this. I've been all over the place. And she goes, I've never seen anything like this. And she said, like, everything is in sync. They're all working together. The nature spirits, the masters, the spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders, you know, all, you know, inner earth, they're all together. They're all working in sync. She goes, this is the first place I've seen that everything's in sync.
I would agree. It's definitely alien nature heaven across all boards. And there is a lovely balance between the understanding of the plant devas and also the galactic beings. And here's the thing. It's just like the unseen world, the non-physical world, is an extraordinarily expansive existence with teeming with life. And people have really just been taught about the visual spectrum on the planet Earth. You know, we've seen films like Predator where they have the thermal imaging and your incredible night vision where you can see these crafts extremely well. But with our naked eyes, the majority of the time, it's been an illusion almost, because if we can't see it, then how can it be real? But why is it that when people say certain things, you get the chills? Your hairs on the back of your neck stand up. If you go into a strange basement, you feel a whatever energy. And you feel these things. And, you know, how do you know that you're in love? You know it because you feel it throughout every cell of your body. And the love isn't standing in front of you holding a sign saying, look, I'm love. It's everywhere. But it's a real thing, you know. And I think it's very beautiful to start to wake up to how much life, how many friends, how many experiences there are beyond what we can see with our eyes. And for me, my life has become never-endingly fascinating, challenging as much as extraordinarily beautiful because of this. And there's so many different beings that I cannot see with my eyes that I know and actually communicate more clearly and more consistently than some of my actual friends in the physical world. So call me crazy, but I'm not.
Yeah, there's a saying, you know, some people say I live in another world, but it's okay because they know me there, you know. But it's pretty busy here. What I always felt sometimes, like the technology of today is a failure of spirituality. It's like we have cell phones, but we have telepathy, you know. We can clairvoyantly see the other dimensions if we do our homework, but we have technology now that can actually look into these other dimensions, and we've got the infrared spotlights and the night vision goggles and all that stuff. You tie that together, the whole fourth dimension starts opening up. But I've seen over and over, we've had so many different technologies and top scientists come up here and they film what's happening through their technology, and they're shocked. You know, they're going, oh my God, you know, when they see the energy, especially the transpersonal release sessions, when you see the energy come into the room and they film it, and there's this massive golden vortex and the people's bodies pixelate into light, and they have it right there on film. You know, now it's real to them. And what I see is, in a way, that actually opens the door for their own spiritual awakening. Like, once now they've saw it, they saw it, you know, in their film and on their camera and their technology, now they can accept it, you know, and then that opens the door for more and more things to happen.
Well, certainly, and all technology is a physical, most of the time, reflection of a power and ability that we all already have innately anyway. The internet, for example, there is a electromagnetic, multidimensional internet that of such a level of technology that's hard to put into words, that exists within everything. Mm-hmm. And people spend so much time, you know, clicking around on the internet trying to find information, when they really could just, you know, it's the old phrase, but check in on the internet and make contact within themselves. Many people and scientists have been looking up to the stars and to space for signs of extraterrestrial life, but the sage knows that all answers and information come from within. Technology is beautiful. We're speaking on technology right now. I use technology in all parts of my life. Yet, you know, as you're saying, when there's an imbalance between spirituality and technology, that things just go south pretty quickly. And I really do hope that, people can stop looking outside of themselves for saving, whether it's, you know, getting their genetics completely altered or having nanobots stuck into their body or what have you, cyborg implants. If you haven't seen, you know, and you're blind and you get a cyborg implant, that's absolutely amazing. It's a beautiful thing. But I think that people need to look within a little bit more. And there's so many of these technologies, including the internet, that we have available without blinking an eyelid or pressing an on button.
Yeah, it's funny because you went right down the line. I was thinking of the transhumanism thing. And and there's so many people that want to go in that direction. And I tell them, I said, you know what, your vehicle, your natural vehicle has all you need to go up to the 13th dimension. You know, all you've got to do is activate it. And why settle for a trinket, you know, that might give you a little more awareness, a little more enhancement, but it's going to trap you into the 3D situation. But, you know, people are just going for it and they're selling it, you know, the next new toy, the next new connector, you know, the next new, you know, pretty soon, you know, people are just going to be, you know, little robots, you know, void of emotions and waiting for their toy to tell them how to think, how to feel, you know, and the next game coming on, you know. So it's kind of sad, you know, in a way, but I really feel, and that's why I built this place actually, is that nature is the path, and going within, being in nature, holding a frequency, that's the path, you know.
If you want to plug into the internet, you plug into Mother Gaia, to the earth and nature itself. People don't realize this, but within nature itself, within the energies, I'm not just talking about mycelial networks of mushrooms. I'm talking about electromagnetic energy and codes. If you want to tap in, if you want to ask a question of the universe, connect into nature first. Be there physically. Even if you're not, imagine yourself being there. And just connecting into that, it's almost like the router to connect to all other different bits of information and experiences. And, you know, take off your shoes and go for a walk. You don't necessarily, you know, have to have nanobots stuck into you. And here's the thing, James, I'm also very passionate individually about the concept of transhumanism. I'm not really for or against anything in life, but I do know that a lot of people have their own choices and their own free will, and they are absolutely cool for them to do that and make the decisions they want to. But I again would stress what you just said before, that there's no technology that can ever supersede your physical and spiritual being. Fact done. Mm-hmm. However, if you want to have fun and plug some things into your eye socket, go for it. But I'm not going to be, and I don't think James is either, so
yeah, I'll pass on that. You know, some things are fun, you know. It's just like, but to me, if I want, you know, visual stimulus, you know, I'm going to go hike up on the mountain and I'm going to go see some of these beautiful lakes and rivers and meditate up there and hang out with the higher dimensional beings. To me, that's where I want to go. I don't want to look at some construct, you know, with some creature climbing up a building, you know, that's trying to blast me. In cyberspace, you know, it's like
You don't need virtual reality helmets. Just come to the Isati Ranch, and you'll see things beyond even that. It's so funny, you know, people, the idea of burying your head in the sand, and ostriches burying their head in the sand. I've tried the virtual reality, and I have to say, it's absolutely extraordinary. It did something strange to my consciousness. It is amazing, but it's just so funny looking at the world right now and the shape it's in. And there's people all over the place with black boxes on their head looking at nightmarish ghouls coming at them. I just think, goodness gracious, what is going on here?
Yeah. You know, I was talking about the UFO thing. Everybody's talking about, you know, how unspiritual it is, you know, the UFOs. What does it have to do with spirituality? And I tell them, you know, I said, you know, in all truth, the UFOs are bait, you know. And what happens sure. is people come up to see the UFOs, and all of a sudden they see the UFOs, and there's an energy exchange, and all of a sudden they go, wow, if this is real, then what else is real, and what else have I been lied yes. to about? And it cracks the door. And then I said, well, do you want to know who they are and why they're here and what their cultures are like and things like that? And when you tell them, you know, they're intently spiritual, so you have to rise to the occasion if you're going to have contact, you know, and all of a sudden they're moving in that direction. Otherwise, they would never even have thought about it. You know, they're up to, they've had it, you know, they've been up to their eyeballs with religious and programming, you know, and the fear and the guilt and the worthiness. You know, they're not going to awaken, you know, going down that road. So obviously it's a this is another path to reach them, to get them to do some extreme soul searching and, you know, and come to the realization that these beings are really family, you know, the greater family of man. They're not to be held so far away, just like Jesus or God or anybody else. You know, we hold everything far away, and it's closer than the hair on our heads. You know, it's within us, and they've been trying to tell us that for years.
Yeah, the externalization of power, even when it comes to money or dollar bills or property or what have you, this idea that these external things can complete you. But it's interesting, the idea of spirituality and extraterrestrials, because there's a lot of people who have been adamant not to connect the two. And yeah. It's very interesting that programming is there, because the ironic thing is that many, and I'm not saying all, but a good amount of the beings that people have known throughout time as angels and also demons are extraterrestrials or interdimensionals, hyperdimensionals. So if you're trying to say that spirituality and these beings are not connected, first of all, many of the religions that have been passed down to the earth have come from beings from the stars, shall we say, some for benevolent reasons, some for control mechanisms. But what is spirituality? You know, who is spiritual? We're all spiritual. We're all spirits. We're all spirit. We are driving a vehicle on this earth called a human body, but our true nature is spirit. And a lot of these extraterrestrial beings are not as physical as we think that they might be. And I think that there's a lot of religious organizations, very right-wing elements of religious organizations, have basically been saying everything that you can't see with your eyes is evil. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, the amount of projection that goes into that to suggest that everything in the unseen realm is evil. You know, if you go to Ireland and you talk to anybody, pretty much 90% of people will say, I'm 100% sure that fairies exist. I've been there many, many times. So some people will say, oh, that's absolute rubbish. And, you know, but there are some people who just say it's absolutely true. And I think that the experience that many people have with beings we call fairies couldn't be further apart than the idea of a malevolent energy. And it's a fascinating thing. You know, I've experienced and felt so many different of these types of beings, all sorts, and not just ET beings, but teachers from other realms and levels, and the feeling of connecting to their presence. It's ecstatic. It's like a golden sun of energy, of warmth, of harmony, of excitement. It really is an extraordinary experience. And for me, it's just like, you know, having my lunch now. And I've experienced it so many times. It's so beautiful that it's something that I look forward to. Not all the time, but it's an amazing thing. And it's very tangible almost. You know, to feel, you know, what it's like to when you hug your mom or you hug your dad or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and you know what it feels like to hug them. They have this vibration, this feeling, or this smell, or whatever you want to call it, and you know what that feels like. And it's the same thing when you're connecting with to a non-physical being. You feel what that presence would be like. Even if you're not hugging them physically, imagine what it would be like. And then it can get even more open.
It feels like somebody turned the dial up to 10, you know. Like some of these beings, I had a guy here from Korea. He's from South Korea, and his family's part of the royal family, actually. But He's been all over. He went through all the Eastern thought. He was a Kung Fu master, Qigong master, everything. And when he hooked up with the Orion Council of Light Beings, he said, "This is 10,000 times stronger than anything I've experienced." And right. and he just sat there and cried. He just cried and cried. You know, it was amazing, the connection that happened there. And then he finally figured it out. He says, "God, everything goes back to the stars. You know, all of the religions, all of the practices, everything." You know, he finally figured it out. You know, everything goes back to the stars, the bearded gods, you know, the images, the religions, you know, they all, you can trace them back. And like you're saying, some were benevolent, some were controllers, you know, and we really need to get back and do the research and find out, you know, what really happened on the planet. And if you're in the biblical program, just read Ezekiel. You know, a shiny disc comes out of the firmament with bronze feet like calves, fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. It sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers, you know. And when it lands, right, and this guy steps out, which they call God, and he orders 6 of his men with their shattering weapons to destroy all the men, women, and children of Israel. How can 6 men destroy a whole city? I mean, they've got some pretty heavy-duty weapons, you know, to do something like that. And that is one of the origins of the wrathful God. And it wasn't God. Exactly. It was an advanced ET with some extreme technology.
Certainly, you know, this dare I say it, Abrahamic idea of this nasty man who's a bully and hates homosexuals and all this stuff. It is a punisher. He said he's a rewarder and a punisher. This is not a benevolent energy. This is a tyrant, a bully, and people have come to think of this being. And I won't say the being's name. Certainly connected to those that we know as the Anunnaki. It's been represented as a god, a god. You know, which is it's very silly. And people have bought onto the idea of suffering. You know, that we need to be punished, and we're slaves, and that people get put on crosses and suffer, and then everything's okay. Very, very insidious programming. I think it's very important for us to recognize that old patriarchal energy, which isn't necessarily representative of what it is to be masculine or to have a masculine energy, but that old patriarchal energy was divorced of the feminine energy. It was disconnected from the feminine energy. There was tension between it and the feminine energy, so therefore it had this nasty tyrant kind of quality. And now we're having this resurgence on the planet Earth of a goddess energy. And what that means, without being airy, fairy, and woofy, in a mechanistic and mechanical way, it means that we're learning to be more allowing, more forgiving, have more compassion and tenderness, and to recognize that invulnerability is true strength. And that this warring and punishing and dominating is an energy that is disconnected from the whole of itself.
You got about so 1 minute, James.
That is moving out. It is not to be defined as masculine. It is it is the masculine apart from the feminine, because the whole being itself, the whole of creation, some people call it God, Goddess, I Am, some people call it life, whatever you want to call it, there is no solely masculine or solely feminine energy. It is always this one energy expressing itself in a variety of different ways.
I agree. Hey, Larkin. I just got a note from the producer. We're out of time, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to bring you on the show again. I don't want to cut off that train of thought. It's a great flow you have going there, but we're out of time, unfortunately. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again real soon.
James, thank you very much, my friend. It's such a pleasure, and you're such a wonderful rascal and inspiration, and what a pleasure it is to be on your show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Have a good day. All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and stay in the heart, watch the skies, and find that balance within. Have a great evening. Good night.